Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good morning to you on this amazing September 16th. We're already halfway through September. It's amazing. In the clubhouse, my guest this morning, Lewin Mayer, author and golf writer, Global Golf Post, and she's in Evian-le-Bain. Isn't that wonderful? She's calling in from the Evian Championship, the final major of the year, of course, on the LPGA, and it was cut to 54 holes. Casey Nakama is calling in as well this morning. He's the founder of the Casey Nakama Golf Development Center. Looking forward to catching up with Casey because he's not just Olomana, but also at the Pearl Country Club. So for folks on either side of Oahu, easy access. Matt Chinella, host of Golf Channel's Morning Drive. He's over at the BMW, of course, is the third leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Indeed, next week it's the Tour Championship. Somebody walks away the winner and $10 million richer. And Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, author of the Vision 54 trilogy and the PGA Lifetime Achievement in Journalism. He'll be with us too. He's coming off of a club championship. So if you guys are playing today, you got a 9-10 at Volcano. Makale has a 9-20. Poipu has a 10-10 and a 9-20. Kapolei has a 12-45. Royal Hawaiian Country Club a 9-30. Makaha East a 10-36. And Kahili, the home of Claude Brousseau's Maui School of Golf, has an 8-30, a 9-30. Just give them a call. They've got a lot of places open for you, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. First, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Alan Nakata, 548-7526. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
Lewin Mayer is Global Golf Post writer. She's a golf writer. She's been writing for many years for some amazing publications and was the first woman, first a golf correspondent in 1997, the year in which she was on the Six Strong shortlist for the British Sports Writer of the Year, the first international writer to be placed in the American Golf Writers Association annual awards. Really, she's got several books, including 100 Years of Women's Golf, Carefree Golf, Woman Golfer, The Story of Scotland's Belle Robertson, and The Real Monty, Carlin Montgomery's biography. And today she is at the Evian Championship. This is the second day concluding. It's just about 7:04 in France. They're on the Lake Geneva overlooking Swiss Alps and, of course, the Evian on the hillside. And welcome into the clubhouse, Lewin.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know,
so you want to know what the weather's like?
I do, because our weather is going to be just kind of cloudy with some showers, likely. The trade winds 15 to 20. And I was wondering, after the torrential rains that you had on day one, Thursday, what's it like now?
Well, curious, I would say, because it's been, we've had blue skies and we've had rain all at the same time. But it's been, you know, the rain, the sun has won over the rain, but it's just been an interesting spectacle.
Yes. Well, you know, it's like Hawaii. We have rain and then we have sun, and it'll happen in a minute or two, 30 seconds. It's pouring and then all of a sudden the sun's out and we've got rainbows. Did you get any rainbows in Evian?
Well, Well, funnily enough, I think you must have stolen them today, then, if you're always getting them. But we did have a lot earlier in the week, which, you know, it was quite an encouraging sight. But Thursday, as you know, was just unbelievable. The wind was sideways and trees were coming down and, you know, players were picking up sort of twigs and branches, and it really was very dangerous out there.
So, I was going to ask you, you know, I'm looking at Maurya Jutanugarn and Arya Jutanugarn, and they're like on opposite sides of the leaderboard. And when one expects Arya to be at the top, we have Maurya at the top, which is interesting in and of itself. But let's start with what you just talked about, the terrible weather. And Mike Wan has decided, after careful consideration, he said, with the rules officials today, and this was on Thursday, and out of concern for the safety of our players, caddies, and everyone on the golf course, with so much rain on this hilly golf course, we decided it was the best interest not to continue play and to restart the tournament with the scores reset. What did you think of that decision? You were there.
Yes, I know I was there. It's actually left me a bit confused because everybody's saying something different. You know, it's very difficult for the players to be objective because those who hadn't gone out at all were, of course, sort of rubbing their hands gleefully and thinking, well, you know, we've really got an advantage here because there are so many bad scores. But and then, of course, they didn't count. And it's just, you know, where you're looking at it from. But I think a lot of sane souls, and I include Laura Davis in that, you know, she says exactly what she thinks and what she thinks is right. And she thought it was a fair decision. Mm. And it was very dangerous out there. I mean, she, you know, she's quite a big girl and she felt scared, you know, and she was sort of hiding under umbrella and wondering what the hell was going to come next. You know, what's going to happen next? It was all this chestnut fencing was coming down. It really was pretty grim.
No, those are big trees, too. And those are hard. Yeah. Yeah. With that being said, the weather being terrible, why not just stop play and continue the following day? It seems this is a major championship. Cutting it to 54 holes seems like it takes the air out of it.
Well, yes. You wouldn't be thinking now because it's got such a great leaderboard, but there's also the point that with this course being so hilly, as Mike Wan said, and so wet, it was going to be a very big ask to ask them to have play 36 holes on any day. Mm-hmm. You know, if they wanted to get a relatively neat championship in, it was probably the best move.
Yeah, and he did go on to say that resetting today's scores was a tough decision to make, but conditions are going to be drastically different on Friday compared to Thursday. In order to maintain competitive equity, we felt the most fair thing to do was to give everyone a clean start tomorrow. So the two players who were hurt the most by all of this seem to be Jessica Korda and her name just went. She's number one in the Rolex rankings. So tell us about that.
You're talking about what happened with Soo-Yeon Park.
Yes.
Who was something like six over par.
Yes.
When she played on Thursday.
Let's start there. Exactly.
She was a six over, but she had a nine on her card, and she'd had a quintuple bogey and a triple bogey or something, absolutely desperately bad. And she's absolutely full of glee. Of course she was, you know, having that round wiped out completely, because then she goes out the next day and there's no sign of any nines or triple bogeys because she went right in 63, which was phenomenal.
She had a fabulous day. Absolutely.
I mean, she was very, very lucky, yes. I mean, you know, that it worked that way for her. And I think, obviously, some players have resented it, but others just laughed it off and said, oh, you know, that could have been them, you know. So it is tough.
It is. One of the people who had a real strong reaction on Twitter about it, everything being reset, was Jessica Korda. She was 3 under when that first round was called and canceled. So the weather wasn't bothering her at all. And I think she finished her. She had 3 double bogeys today. How'd she do? Did she make the cut?
At the moment, we're still waiting. Let me just see if she did make the cut. No, she wasn't happy. She did say at the time, I heard her say, it sucks, you know, what had happened, because she, you know, she was under par, doing well. I'm struggling to find. She's missed the. Oh no, that's Nellie Corder.
Nellie Corder, definitely.
Corder's missing.
Yes, definitely.
I'm afraid. Yes.
My system's down here too, so I can't. I'm of absolute no assistance. So, I apologize for that.
We've got both. She had went 67-79.
Oh, 79 is very, very difficult. To make a cut when everyone's shooting so well and the weather is so beautiful.
Yes.
Everything's changed completely on the course. And we do have a magnificent leaderboard, a lot of very strong play. Now, Moria is the elder of the two sisters, Moria Jutanagarn and Arya Jutanagarn. I can't help but wonder, this will be either Arya's seventh withdrawal or miscut this year after having a fabulous year. Know we try to speculate about, you know, the why of everything. Do you have any ideas, any thoughts? You've been in this game a long time. You're a golfer. You know.
Well, I think Arya had this wonderful year last year, and it's jolly difficult when you're young to, you know, to live up to these things that, you know, people say, when are you going to win your next major? What you're going to do next. And of course, things don't always go right. And the other one, Mariah, she's just, you know, she had to wait patiently as her younger sister won a major. And I remember speaking to her when she was in this position. She said, no, I'm very happy for my sister, very happy for her. But I just think my time will come. It's all a matter of being patient. She's such a lovely person.
Wow.
You know, that she never let the sisters, you know, being ahead of her, worry her. You know, she was just so sweet about everything. And, she's been rewarded for her patience and her goodwill and the lovely approach she brings to bear. I mean, she's an amazing kid. And she's much smaller than, she's tiny compared to Ryan. And yet, she's her forte is her iron play. I mean, she drops these, you know, it's as if she's sort of a very clever needlework or something, because she drops her irons precisely by the pin. I mean, she's so good.
It's truly wonderful watching. So for Mariah is the older one, and she hasn't won yet. Do you think this is her time?
I think it could be, because this patience is paying off. I mean, the first time I saw her, she was playing in it was the Junior Open Championship, and blow me if she didn't beat all the boys, and they struggled to be sporting because it was all won, you know, and they had all sorts of excuses as to how, you know, they'd be beaten by the girl. And even Tom Lewis, who was a winner on the European Tour, would go on to win on the European Tour, you know, he struggled desperately to be gracious and didn't quite manage it, as I remember it.
Wow. We're talking right now with Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, the special correspondent for Global Golf Post, golf writer. You are, you're with Global Golf Post now. You travel everywhere for them. It's really wonderful how that publication, I remember them starting off 5-6 years ago and being the first all online publication, all internet based with no paper. And they continue to grow, and it's marvelous. If you'd like to get your copy in the inbox, just go to Global Golf Post, and you can click on the subscription. You give them your email address, and there's no charge. So you get all the latest information, including the great writing from Lewin Mayer, right into your inbox. Every day, I think there's an update from Global Golf Post, and I know on Mondays you certainly get the complete look back at the week and all the events that were happening. So, with the event wiped out by the weather, this is the Evian Championship, reduced to 54 holes. Lydia Ko is coming on strong. There's a very good possibility that she could be the winner this year at the Evian.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, she's really feeling, you know, she's cheering up. She knows that it's coming back. She's had compared to last year, she's had a poor season. And But she knows she's playing better now. And she said that Stacey Lewis had been a great help to her, you know, saying encouraging things to her all along. You know, and, you know, she just says, you're not the same person as you were last year. But, you know, you don't want to worry, you know, what's happened before. Just think about the player you are now. And I think that's the important thing to do. And I think Lydia knows that she's just missing a few parts and a few things have gone wrong, but she can feel that she's playing well again.
And she's always so steady. I mean, it doesn't seem to bother her at all. She's, I guess, very much like Aria. When things don't go right, yeah. She seems to be very comfortable in her own skin. And a lot of people emote so much. I think it hurts their game overall when they let their emotions get the best of them.
Yes, I know. It really does. But no, she, you know, you can't tell. I think it's lovely when you get players who you really cannot see whether they've dropped five shots to par or whether they're five under. I think they're the ones that have really got a terrific advantage.
Yeah, exactly. Another big storyline, Evian Championship is the last event Ai Miyazato is playing in. She's retiring. And that makes me feel so old. I mean, when we had an LPGA event at Turtle Bay and seeing Ai Miyazato come out for the first time, they had to open up the ballroom. I've said this many times before, I don't, but it's true. They had the media center. The media center couldn't hold the 60 different outlets that had come from Japan to cover Ai Miyazato, the major person, this huge superstar that was coming to Hawaii, and it was really quite nice watching the people at the Turtle Bay frantically try to find room space for all these new media people. And she chose to play with Paula Creamer, and then Paula had something go wrong with her. Did she have that wrist injury again?
Yes, a strained tendon it was. But Paula was, you know, she was jolly good because she kept going. She felt so honoured that I would have wanted to play with her, though she kept on and on. But finally, I was down at the fourth, and she was, she'd started at the tenth, but I was down at the fourth, and she was played out of her bunker, and it came out sort of limply, and the club flew from her hands, and she just bent over double with the pain. It really did hurt, and, you know, within a matter of minute, she was sort of giving eye a hug and saying she couldn't go on, and, you know, she was terribly sorry about it.
Wow. Go ahead, please.
No, it was just very touching because then Paula was sent back to base in a buggy, and she was sort of inconsolable. She was actually sitting on her husband's lap as he went back to base, and she's going to stay on for the rest of the week, and she said she'd be there to support I when she comes off the green because I think they're planning a big celebration for her tomorrow. As she finishes.
I imagine so. She made the cut. So a lot of people wondering if she would be able to play the whole weekend. And she's playing strong.
Oh, yeah.
I understand her father's not doing well. Is that one of the reasons why she's retiring?
Hasn't been well. No, it isn't. It's just that she's lost her motivation. She's been very on. But she, you know, she's paid for... was it 14 years? I can't remember. But she just says she, you know, it just left her, you know, and she thinks, you know, it's time for the next chapter of her life. But interestingly, because this is her last tournament, she has got a new sort of spring in her stride, and she's playing really well this week.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were saying about all these Japanese press who follow her around, Tristan Jones, who's a photographer in Europe, wonderful chap, great photographer, he was recalling a day when he was staying in the same hotel on the same floor, and they happened to come out of their room for breakfast at the same time. And there was a photographer, Japanese photographer, waiting outside Ai's door. And there were all these usual very polite bows between Ai and the photographer. And then the photographer sort of went machine gun style with his camera all the way to breakfast. And I, you know, there was a nice polite bows at the end, and she'd never minded. So, you know, she had this wonderful temperament. She never got cross. And she has this one great relationship with the Japanese media. Which,
yeah.
I mean, I think if it had been Monty, he'd have shot a lot of them.
Yes. you know, when you've got 60 outlets following you, you better develop a good relationship with them. Otherwise, life will be miserable and you will end up in jail. Well, she chose the people she chose to play with. Aimee Azzotto retiring, she got to choose the playing partners. And so she had, or playing competitors. She had, as we mentioned, Paula Creamer, but also Yanni Tseng. And I thought
that...
Yes. Interesting, too. The two different, they seem to be so very different, coming from different places in the world. But they're very, very close friends.
Yes, it is. But I mean, what amazes me out here is how, you know, there are very some very nice friendships. There really are. And Mai, I think, I rather, has been, you know, has led the way. She's been an absolute role model, you know, because she believes, you know, it's perfectly possible to be, you know, a friend and a rival, you know, which a lot of them find difficult. And she's friendly to, and lovely to everybody.
And then when she's on the course, she plays to win. It's awesome. It's really wonderful to watch her. And I'm glad you recognize that it's time instead of trying to beat the horse. You know, it's sometimes it's just time to do something different. It just certainly is. Jennifer Song, six under today. She had a fabulous, fabulous round. And because I can't find my leaderboard, it's a shame that I'm not able to mention the one top of the CME Tour Championship points ranking. She just had a great day on the first day, then that day was wiped out. I'm not sure if she's going to make the cut. And it's just interesting to see the ups and downs of all of the players that are in the field. I've got to ask you about Evian Le Bon, where this Evian Championship is held on this gorgeous golf course that so much was done to make it into this major championship venue. And they treat everybody like superstars. Everybody, don't you feel like a superstar when you're there?
Yes, it is a lovely atmosphere, and you do feel you're in the right place at the right time. It's wonderful.
Yes. Would you go to that little town if there were no golf championship being played?
I think I would. I would go to, go simply to look over Lake Geneva. I would like walking along the front. I would like walking up the hills.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
There's a lot to like about it. I should imagine it's very quiet in the off season, but then they'll have their skiers arriving, won't they?
Sitting yes.
The mountains behind.
Yes.
And do you know what I like doing best? It's taking the boat over from Evian. There's a little port, and you can take the boat over to Lucerne.
Oh my God!
Or Lausanne, sorry, Lausanne.
It's okay.
And or am I thinking? I'm probably sending you off to the wrong place.
That's okay. Lucerne, Lausanne. It doesn't matter where we go. If we're going across on the boat, I'm happy.
Yes. Well, you can go over. It takes about half an hour. It's Lucerne, isn't it? It's the head of the Olympic place. You know, it's where they have their headquarters. But you can go over on the boat in half an hour. You can have your supper in Switzerland, and you can come back on the boat.
Marvelous. I'm joining you next year. And we'll go to Switzerland and have dinner. That would be wonderful. Evian is known for its commercials. I love their spots. You know, they do the baby commercials, the roller skating baby in 2009. I think it was breakdancing babies in 2013. And Baby Surfers didn't do well in 2016. They got slammed. But this Live Young campaign had Lydia Ko dressed up in grown-up clothes. It was all like babies wearing grown-up clothes that didn't fit them at all, jackets all the way to the floor. They were absolutely adorable. Were they doing something with the players at the tournament?
You mean, were they doing these pictures at the... I don't know when they did that drama. And I don't even know whether they're the actual players. I think it's all very cleverly done.
It is. It's wonderful. But somebody was telling me they saw themselves being youngified. They would stand in this place where the camera would then make them turn them back into babies. That was their Live Young campaign?
Right.
Yes.
You sure it wasn't just the Evian water that did the trick?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was the Evian water that was doing the trick. That's
I'm sure that does happen. I have literally, you know, I've heard that they can watch this happening to themselves.
Yeah.
I think it was Lydia that was speaking about it.
Yes, and she was the featured baby in the Live Young campaign where they had the baby dressed up like Lydia Ko. It was adorable.
Yes, that's right. No, it's good fun. Absolutely good fun. But they do such clever things now, but almost too clever, because I think I've talked to you about it before, but they have these revolving leaderboards like you get in an airport, and just when you think you've arrived at the player you want, whose score you want to know, it rolls over to the next one, and you miss it.
That would drive me crazy.
Yes. Well, I've had them slowed down today, so I've done my bit.
Thank you. Ellen Winmare, Global Golf Post. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with me. Where do you go next?
I'm going home, and then I'm doing a couple of the Masters, British Masters in Newcastle. Then I've got the Alfred Dunhill Masters in St. Andrews, and I'm going to China at the end of the year.
Oh, my goodness. Let's talk from China. Let's talk from all those places. Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'll be in touch.
Okay, that's lovely.
Bye. Aloha. Bye-bye. We're going to go to the BMW Championship. It's Matt Janella, Golf Channel, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I need help. Maybe you've heard that from people who are taking care of a loved one. They don't want to go into a home. They want to stay at home, but need help taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a relative? Meal planning and prep, light housekeeping, assistance, bathing, hygiene. See, home care to give peace of mind to you and to the one you love. A few hours a week or 24/7. It's really up to you. You choose the number of hours you need. So need help? They have a plan for you, for your parents, your own retirement. Eliminate the hassles and the frustration and the unknown. Call Need Help. The number is 548-7526. Eliminate the hassles, the frustration, and the unknown. Call Need Help now at 548-7526. They're available on Maui and Oahu, of course. They're actually in all 50 states. And tell them Danielle sent you. Need Help? That number is 548-7526.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Matt Janella is Golf Channel's travel insider and host of Morning Drive. He covers courses, resorts, avid amateurs for Golf Channel. And you can read his reviews, because he does great reviews of golf courses, at golfadvisor.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matty G.
Always a pleasure, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're at the BMW Championship. You're in Conway Farms in Illinois, right outside Chicago, I imagine, very close by. Is that correct?
All correct.
Excellent. And you've been covering this event on lots of different levels. It's wonderful watching Morning Drive and seeing you on location. I saw you talking with Mark Rolfing about his project there. But let's start off with the big, big news of the week. Jason Day dumps caddy. I thought that was the most incredibly weird headline. I guess it got my attention. Did it get yours?
I guess so. I mean, I don't really, you know, I'm kind of in the same camp as kind of Charlie Reimer on this one, which I, you know, I you know, in some cases, players really lean on their caddies, like Jordan Spieth always referring to, you know, we decided this,
yes,
you know, and that's fine. I you know, at the end of the day, player hits the shot, you know, and this is a sport of hitting shots. Changing caddies seems to be a bit of a trend right now. They're doing it all very amicably and fairly respectfully and cordially. And, I don't really get into that, really, to be honest with you. It doesn't move me one way or the other.
I get it completely. What I thought when they were talking about this, you know, big deal about Jason Day no longer having his, you know, almost his father on his back, I thought, well, goodness gracious, most young people at some point need to kind of make that separation happen. And he is staying on as his coach. It's kind of an evolution of a person's age and where they're at. And he seems to be doing just fine, having a great time. Hit a hole in one yesterday. And did he give away the car?
I'm not sure. I didn't hear if he gave away the car. I know he's playing on. He's tied for second right now, 64-65. So, and sometimes you just need a change. You need something fresh, whether it's equipment or a caddy or a coach or, you know, I don't know. But apparently it's working. Whatever he did.
Yes, at least for now. You know, golf is that way. One moment you're, you know, 9 over, and the next minute you're leading like at the Evian. You know, it was amazing after they eliminated Thursday's play over there, and the gal who was having such a terrible day came back, and she's at the, you know, top 5 on the leaderboard. It's golf.
The whole thing was weird.
It was. And I was talking to, as you heard, you were so patient, with LeWyn Mayer, and she said that it was dangerous, and Laura Davies was actually afraid of what chestnut tree was going to fall down on her. So I think we didn't see the extent of the weather there. Ricky Fowler, it's great when he plays great. What's up with Ricky?
Well, I don't know. He's also tied with Jason Day, 65-64. He's had another season of no major championships, but another season of good golf. It's just a matter, you know, it's not if, it's when with Ricky. I think everybody kind of feels the same way. He's hard not to root for. You know, he's such a fun, engaging guy. I've got nothing, you know, I've had nothing but great experiences with him on and off the course. So it would be nice for him to get one or two of these last two events before the President's Cup kind of roll that into hopefully what would be a major championship or two next year.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really looking forward to Ricky Fowler being a major champion. It's kind of like Sergio Garcia, that moment when he became a major champion so people couldn't say, how come you don't have one yet? It's not like he's not playing fabulous.
I don't know.
It sometimes makes me wonder if he doesn't have that killer instinct to actually go for, you know, he's a part of the group. He's a part of the gang. He's one of the friends. And we were talking about Ai Miyazato loving to be friends, but she could compete on the tour. There was no problem with that. But at some point, you have to be willing to just go for it and not care what your friends think.
Yeah, I don't think that's Ricky's problem. I think a lot of these guys are feeding off of each other. I think that certainly was the case with Justin Thomas, even admittedly so, saying that, you know, he almost was a little bit jealous of his buddy for Jordan Spieth for winning the Open Championship and getting, you know, he's kind of like, hey, I know I'm capable of doing that. I think you know, Ricky, you know, will continue to get pushed by these younger guys, his buddies. He's no longer the youngest guy, right? Like, so he's almost moved into that, you know, that's how crazy golf is that Ricky Fowler is no longer one of the young guns. I mean, but I think he'll continue to benefit from the success that the younger guys are having and keep, you know, keep him motivated and keep him focused on what he needs to do to try to get that first and hopefully multiple major championships.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome. And another story that, you know, with the BMW Championship, we're talking with Matt Janella, Golf Channel's travel insider. Sungmoon Bae is back. You know, 21 months went like that.
Yeah, that's the way it goes, right?
It was, yeah, back from serving in the South Korean military force, which he's required to do, and getting his legs back on the course. That must be weird to be in the military and then now on the golf course. Has anyone talked to him about the adjustment?
Well, he's not playing here this week, but he is coming back to golf, and I think he kind of picks up right where he left off in terms of his status. He got the 21 months out. From what I'm told, he actually did do some playing of golf. He, you know, it was all dependent, going back 2 years ago, I remember, it was all dependent on what kind of, you know, squad leader he got, you know, whether the guy kind of controlled his whole world, right? So whether or not, you know, he got any opportunity to do anything other than just strictly military, I think it was kind of the decision of that independent, you know, leader they got. And apparently, from what I was told back then, that he got a good one. He got a nice one, someone that wasn't going to not allow him to occasionally hit balls or something. Yeah. But I would imagine he's, you know, talk about being anxious to get back out there. He was kind of peeking at that President's Cup 2 years ago in South Korea. And I imagine he's anxious to get back and get in the thick of things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm finding the whole playoff very great. I mean, very good. Even though some people complain that giving people the opportunity to take a week off doesn't really give us the top player of the year. What are your thoughts about that week off and coming back and still being able to win?
No, I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of the week off. I'm becoming more of a fan of the playoffs. I do love some of these marquee pairings. I do love the idea of feeling like it's kind of a World Golf Championship, you know, on steroids, kind of a hyper-focused World Golf Championship with a little bit more meaning or relevance, so to speak. I think that all of this is going to get better once we go to kind of the new schedule, which is Players Championship in March and the PGA Championship in May. I think it'll be better for Olympic years. It'll be better for Ryder Cup years. It'll be better for the playoffs going forward. I still feel like there's too many people involved in these playoffs. There's only a handful of people that I think we're actually watching, not only this week, but I think next week, in terms of winning the FedEx Cup playoffs and winning player of the year. You know, that I still think there's too many people involved. I would like to see, ultimately the playoffs cut more people and get down to a Sweet 16 and then run it as a match play event, for $10 million, you know, a match play event for $10 million with everybody having, you know, reseeding after that either second or third event going into a final event that becomes, you know, head to head for big money, you know. Because at the end of the day, if you're not in the top five, you don't really control your own destiny on winning the FedEx Cup playoffs. And, you know, it just feels like there's still too many people involved.
Okay. That, you know, of course, TV executives are cringing everywhere thinking about having a match play event and then losing off the mark. There goes the marquee players.
There's 16. At that point, there are 16 marquee players. You're talking about 16 of the top players in the world, you know, that are going to be playing off. The problem with the match play events is you start with 64, and then you have a chance of getting number 62 in the world playing against, you know, number 38 in the finals, for example. Well, that's not even going to potentially happen. You've eliminated all that potential by getting it just down to the Sweet 16.
Awesome. You thought it out. You've got it going.
Well, I mean, you know, I do. You know, we can't get in. I mean, it does seem like we can't get enough of good match play between the top players. So let's try to create a situation where we get more of that, you know, other than, you know, even the match play event, like I was saying, you know, that's a chance. The reason why we love the Ryder Cup or even now a little bit of the President's Cup is you do have some of these big names being pitted against each other. Well, let's just create an event, another event that does that.
Absolutely. I mean, this was the Open. It was stroke play, but watching Phil Mickelson and, oh, what's his name? And it was like watching match play. God, it's terrible.
You mean Stenson and Phil?
I beg your pardon? Say that again. You cut out.
Henrik Stenson and Phil.
Yes, Henrik. Yeah. His name just went poof.
That was Jordan Spieth and Kuchar, too, at
yes.
that Open.
You
know,
yes,
that was, you know, that almost, that essentially became match play. I mean, I love match play, especially when they are the big names. So hopefully we could potentially see that one day. You know, especially if they're playing for $10 million.
That's a lot of money.
Make it head to head.
Let's do it right. That's right. Yeah. Now I got to ask one more question here. What do you think of ending the FedEx Cup playoffs and having the Tour Championship before the NFL season begins, since they're shifting?
Yeah, well, that's what that new season will do. So that new schedule will do, and that, of course, you got to get out of football's way. You cannot, you know, one thing you can't do is compete with football. So I think everybody knows that. I was talking to Paul Casey about that on the putting green two days ago, and he's going, look, you know, I'm having a great year. I've got 8 top tens. I got 2 top 5 finishes in these playoffs. And he goes, but all I can think about is who am I playing this week in fantasy football? You know, and he goes, I mean, he's Paul Casey. So that tells you all you need to know. Like, we got to, you know, and now just think about sort of the casual fan. You know, where do they fall in all that? It's been a long season. You know, it's been a long golf season. It's okay to take a little time off, you know, and let's watch a little football before we get back to golf.
Yes. So they keep telling us that there's not going to be an off season. It's going to be a full year schedule with maybe 2 weeks off at the most. Do you think do you think that's going to continue, just allowing the, you know, the second tier players to continue to move them through, get them stronger to go into the new year?
I would imagine it's going to continue. I can't see that sort of the start of the season not happening. It's just that, you know, you're just not going to get big ratings. You know, that therein lies the rub. If they can do something to try to get, you know, get a little more creative on the days that those events are played, and, you know, having it maybe end on Fridays and have them played during the middle of the week. I've been loving, you know, anytime we get live golf. I don't care if it's the Long Drive contest or the web.com or, you know, whatever live tournament's on during the week, I'm more inclined to watch it than if it's on a Sunday. You know, if it's one of those first season events and it's up against, you know, some of the, you know, the big, you know, Saturdays or Sundays of college football and professional football, it's going to always struggle. That's just a fact.
And speaking of struggling, I need to talk to you a little bit about Florida quick, because everybody was, I mean, we didn't see Golf Channel live. We saw a lot of stuff, a lot of Long Drive repeats, a lot of movies, because we knew all of you are right in the midst of it, you know, and taking care of, and we're worried about you a little bit because, you know, we don't know where you are. And so I'm thinking about Naples, and it's going to be the host of the playoff, the CME Tour Championship for the LPGA right there at Tiburon. But how did you fare? What did you do?
Scary stuff, obviously. And certainly, you know, I know Naples and the Keys and Cuba, and, you know, all that area, really, you know, that it looks really bad. Not being there, I can't necessarily comment other than say it looks bad.
Right, of course.
For Orlando, I had gotten my baby and my dog and my wife up out of there, you know, several days before there was even a chance of you know, it hitting. And it did look like that eye was going to come. They kind of predicted it correctly. You know, at one point they did think the eye was going to go right up the middle of the state, and which is in a sense what it did. I was out of there as well. So then we all met up back in Chicago.
Great.
That Sunday night. From what I'm told, there's just, you know, in Orlando, a lot of people were evacuated. A lot of people left the state. So as it relates to Golf Channel, they, you know, took all the necessary precautions. They evacuated, or they shut down the offices. They encouraged people to heed the evacuation, you know, warnings, et cetera. So, you know, NBC, Comcast, Golf Channel, you know, they don't mess around there. So we were out, and we did get, you know, we were supposed to be live from the BFW Championship on Tuesday. We ended up being able to be live on Wednesday morning, which is a credit to all the people who made that possible. You know, from what I'm told, it's we're back up and running. There's still a lot of cleanup and power outage that they're trying to piece together in Central Florida. But knock wood, you know, it was bad, but boy, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was in touch with the Florida Golf Association and another golf association in Florida, trying to see if they'd been able to, you know, kind of assess how the golf courses were doing and just get an idea of the industry, what was going on. And one office couldn't take phone calls. They said they were working, but their phones weren't working to leave a message or to try to reach them on the internet. But then the internet was down, so they couldn't necessarily get back to you. Another person I got to on their cell phone, and she said, "I'd like to help you and tell you, but we just can't communicate. We, you know, we think about the power outages, but it's not just power, it's phones. And even though people use cell phones, a lot of offices still use landlines, right?" So, just I'm so glad everyone, you know, is okay. And when I got the tweet from you that you were safe, that was great. And I'm sure your family here in Hawaii, Matt Janella, Golf Channel host, family on the North Shore, give them a shout out, Matt.
Yeah, well, they're my brother Sean, and my parents are actually out there right now visiting, and my nephews, my niece, the whole crew is out there. They're, you know, I know you guys have enough weather scares and concerns of your own, so it was an odd set of circumstances to have my Hawaiian family worried about what was going on for us in Florida. Normally, we're always, you know, worried about you guys, tsunamis, and all the things that you guys deal with. So, we're all in it together.
Awesome. Matt Janella, Golf Channel Travel Insider and host, Morning Drive. He's at the BMW Championship. Thank you so much for being on the show with me this morning.
Always a pleasure, Danielle. Looking forward to what's going to be a pretty good day and rest of the weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing how this all shakes out. Some big names up there and lots of low scores I'm seeing already. Look at Phil Mickelson already. Now in T5, he's 3 under on his day through 6. Webb Simpson, 6 under today. Like, lots of people going low, so could be fun.
I'm watching on television.
Yeah. There we go.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Okay, take care. Aloha.
We're going to come back and talk with Casey Nakama. He's got the golf development program. And, you know, Casey Nakama's golf development center, y'all think about it being over at Olomana. But if you're on the town side, you could also go to Casey Nakama Golf Development Center at the Pearl Country Club. We'll be back with Casey right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
What do the finest homes in Hawaii have in common? Many of them trusted Rainer Hawaii Overhead Doors to provide a truly unique garage door on their home. Call Rainer today and beautify your home with a striking aluminum and glass door that will make your hand out. Or choose a custom wood design that will be only yours. You have seen our beautiful doors on your neighbors' homes. Get a Rainer door of your own. Call 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer, Hawaii.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Well, today up at Muirfield, Drive Chip Putt Regional is going on. A regional was held at Pinehurst and Olympic Club earlier this month. And later this month, a regional will be held at Interlochen and Torrey Pines, where Hawaii's qualifiers will go and play. The PGA Junior League is holding the sub-regionals and regionals this month and the championship in November at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale. It's big time for junior golf, and no one knows that better than Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, inducted in 2015, director of golf, founder and owner of Casey Nakama Golf Development Center. Welcome into the clubhouse, Casey.
Good morning, Danielle. With the introduction, thanks for that introduction. Makes me sound important.
You are. You are important. I mean, all the people, the lives you've touched, Dean Wilson's coach, Michelle Wee's first coach, you have been with junior golf longer than anybody I can think of in Hawaii. And I mean, your accomplishments as a golfer, Asian Tour alum, Ben Hogan PGA Tour alum, Hilo Invitational winner, Hawaii State Open winner, JAL Rainbow Open winner, Makaha Open winner, Maui Open winner, Mid-Pack Open winner, Waikoloa Open. That's just a few of what you've done. You know, I mean, you've got all the experience that you can then, it must be wonderful giving it to the kids.
You know, that's one of those things that we enjoy the most, is just passing on some information to the next generation of players. And, you know, we had our time playing, and right now it's, you know, it's our time to give back to the kids. So.
Yeah. And are they little sponges?
Yeah. You know, this year we've had our most successful year on our tournament calendar and everything. We just got back from Maui at the end of middle part of August. We had a great time. Enrollment was up a little bit. You know, since we opened out at Pearl, I have a great crew out there. Todd Rago, Kellen Asao, Shane Hoshino, Tyler Ota, who's right now the top amateur in the state. He comes over and helps us. But we've got a great crew helping those kids out at Pearl. So, yeah, junior golf is kind of growing, you know, for what we're doing. It's been growing right now.
Yeah. You know, I didn't realize that you were on Maui, too. Is that part of the Casey Nakama Junior Tour?
No, this past we travel every year, once a year, with our tour, and we went to Maui this year. We always go to the neighbor island, you know, once a year during the summer, kind of at the end of summer to wrap up our tour and have a trip for the kids. So we had a 2-day tournament out at Wailea. They hosted us. It was great out at Wailea.
Now, well, tell us about the Casey Nakama Junior Tour.
That's a tournament tour that we started, you know, as our program was growing back in the late 90s and it started to grow. There was just a need for some of these kids to start playing more. So we had a group that qualified for this division that we call the Whitecaps that they got to qualify for. And we started a 9-hole tour at different golf courses on Sunday afternoons. And all of the pros were great at all the golf courses, letting us come in and we'll play a 9-hole tournament. And as it grew, we had the need for some kids getting better and playing 18 holes. And so, you know, we started it within our program. And so we have, about 80 members that are enrolled on the tour. But these kids, they got to qualify to get on this tour. They cannot just sign up for our program and get on the tour. They got to go through the process of the program and pass a series of tests and get to that level, and then we'll take them on the tour and travel and go to different golf courses, give them the experience of playing some really great golf courses.
That's wonderful. So now when you talk about the program, that's the one that you've developed. This is Casey Nakama, and he is the founder and owner of Casey Nakama Golf Development Center. His primary base is Olomana. That's where he started, but he's also at Pearl Country Club. And before we talk about the program more in depth, are you also at Waikele and Hawaii Kai?
No, we're not out there. We're only at Olomana and Pearl.
Okay.
And Pearl Country Club is just our junior program. So again, those guys, Todd Rago and Kellen Asao guys, they do a great job out there.
Fantastic. So you've developed your program that I was reading a little bit about it, where you start the kids and then they don't necessarily go from one level to another unless they pass. Tell us about how you've developed this.
You know, I talked to one of my friends, and he was teaching out in Texas, and he told me that the kids, to go on a golf course, they had to be able to have the minimum skill level, what they tested with, and they checked, and then they let the kids go out and play only one or two holes. And then from there, as they progressed and got a little bit better, more acclimated to being on a golf course, then they could play more holes. So when I was talking to them, I thought that was a great idea. So I had to figure out how could I have a testing system that could get these kids to gradually start working their way into the golf course. You know, Olomana Golf Course, it's been really good. Actually, the loop of the nine holes is perfect for what we do, because the four holes comes back around near the clubhouse. And if they play five and six, they come right back up by the clubhouse, by the putting green. And then the kids can go to seven, eight, and nine. So the loop of the golf course has been just ideal for what we do. So it's a combination of a lot of things that has happened that, you know, made this program successful. So, but then, you know, that's how we started it. And so as these kids, the need for, you know, playing more golf on the golf course, and they, you know, we kind of hang the carrot in front of these kids to go after. You got to be able to shoot this score to progress to this. And then they move on. So these kids are constantly practicing and moving towards an upper division.
So cute. I saw some of the pictures, and all of them walking along with the bags on their back. So Olomana gives the kids unlimited access to the golf course and facilities. How does that work?
In the afternoon, there's a program that they become members at the golf course, and the kids can play golf every day. Yeah, so, you know, something that the city and county did, I think, this year, implementing the kids being able to go on a golf course for free.
Yes.
You know, just do something to grow the game and have the kids have access. Only thing that we would like the kids to at least have some type of formal etiquette instruction, just so they understand that, you know, they can't go, there's a process of playing, you know, there's an order of play to play on the golf course. You cannot just hit the balls, you know, in any kind of direction. So, but that's the only thing.
You don't want them running and screaming down the fairway.
They need some type of etiquette and formal instruction.
That would be good. It's also safer, you know, that's one of the things that when we have our junior golf, Aloha State Junior Golfers gets together at Bayview, and what we do is we on the range a little while, just to kind of warm up and have a little conversation with them about safety, you know, about watching out for each other and whose turn is it next.
Exactly right. They gotta understand that the honor system and safety and all that stuff. Yeah, we go over that a lot, because we just want to make sure the kids are safe when they're, you know, the golf ball's flying around is a dangerous thing. If you're in the wrong place, somebody's swinging the golf club in the wrong place, somebody can easily get hurt with this equipment. So, yeah, we're pretty strict with our safety stuff.
When you said this is one of your best years. Is enrollment really high now with junior golf?
Yeah, we've always been running at our maximum capacity that we could handle. And then when we went out to Pearl, so this September is about a year, the enrollment at Pearl, you know, on that side of the island, there's so much kids. So at Roman and Pearl started to go up. And one thing in our program, we try to let the kids have a lot of fun. We set it up so the kids have fun first, learn golf, learn how to, you know, play the game and, you know, having fun playing within a group. And then those kids that are going to excel and get really good, they're going to kind of take to the game and start practicing on their own a little bit more. But at the beginning, the program, we try to keep it really fun for the kids, because sometimes, you know, golf is frustrating. It's tough. And I always tell the kids that, and the parents, that this is going to be one of the most difficult sports that they try. You know, in all of sports, I think even the athletes, the debate is hitting a major league fastball or hitting a golf ball consistently straight. Those are the two most difficult things to do in athletics. So when the kids do, you know, start to try golf, we let the parents and the kids know that, hey, we're going to deal with some frustration, but we got to overcome that, which is a great life lesson.
Yes, exactly.
You know, learn how to do that,
And that's one of the things I've always talked with the various golf and correspondents. You know, a lot of correspondents who cover golf were junior golfers or collegiate golfers or junior collegiate golfers, and they marvel at the recovery of some of the people and the wherewithal, the emotional control. But it's not control. It's like allowing golf to come to you, and when you're playing, accepting that it's not going to happen. You know, this hole is not going to happen, but there's next hole. You know, or doing the best after this bad shot. And then when you watch on television or at a tournament, it's difficult to be watching at a tournament live because you don't see the overall picture as easily. So let's take it just from watching on television. You see somebody who's like four down and it doesn't seem like they're going to get anywhere near the top of the leaderboard. You know, you go for a sandwich and all of a sudden, wow, what happened?
Just like what happened at the, I think it was the British Open this year when Jordan Spieth made that run at the end. That was, you know, that was just one of those things that it was great to watch, you know, once in a lifetime kind of thing that's going to happen. But that was unbelievable what happened. But,
yeah.
You know, like you said, yeah, perseverance, you know, patience and perseverance and just trust and believing in yourself. These are all great life lessons, thing, you know, to learn for golfing. So from golfing, but yeah, these are the things that the kids learn when they start playing.
And the rules of golf. You also teach the rules of golf, right?
Yes, and there's going to be some changes. So, you know, a lot of players and the officials, you know, the guys in Hawaii State Golf Association here, kind of mulling over some of the rule changes. There's a couple of things that's going to make golf. I think their aim is to try to get the game to move a little bit faster. And so there's going to be some quite dramatic changes, I think, that's going to be happening, you know, as far as how we've been doing things all these years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I just have to go over something really quick. That I came upon this thing that happened to Ben Crane, you know, speaking of the rules of golf. I was playing on the web.com tour, and he was assessed an 8-stroke penalty because he had clubs in his bag that still had the training stickers on them, his driver and his 6-iron. And he played those clubs, and that's like having an attachment on a club, even one that doesn't affect how it hits the ball, is a violation of the rules. I don't know if it's going to be a violation of the rules when the new rules come out, but right now it's a violation of the rules. So he got two-stroke penalties for carrying but not using what's called now a non-conforming club. So then he kept playing, right? And he did really well. He went to 3-under. Even with this 8-stroke penalty, he was 3-under after getting it. So he didn't allow it to affect him. He was keeping himself together. But then apparently he got disqualified because he told an official that he actually knew. See, the first time he said that he wasn't aware that the second club had the stickers on it, and then he realized later that they had the stickers on it.
You know, some of the rule changes is going to be, it's going to address stuff like that. I mean, really, some of the things are so silly that I think they have to take a look at it and reassess that this rule, you know, doesn't make sense at this time. So
exactly. It's a sticker. It's a sticker on the club. You know, it was like, hello, it's just a piece of tape or something. But I'm not criticizing anything here. But I think that, as you said, some rules needed to be looked at. And it's going to, the changes must be interesting for the rules officials to have to go through all of this. Go ahead.
There's going to be some interesting stuff about drops and how they're going to, you know, accidentally bumping a ball on a putting green where, you know, that has been an issue, you know, the past few years that balls are moving on the green when players are addressing it and stuff like that. So some of those changes, they're going to be changing. I hope they stop the call-in rule. People call in for watching a rule, because that's not fair, because that everyone in the field is not being watched. Only the top players that's on TV at the time.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yes.
If they called it in, So that's one thing I think the PGA Tour is going to stop.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, I hope the USGA agrees. Yeah. USGA can be very, you know, kind of like staid. They just like...
You know, it's old school, yeah. Old school is, when we say old school, USGA and the PGA of America, it's all old school.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, as a professional, I mean, here you are, Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, inducted in 2015, director of golf, founder and owner of the Casey Nakama Golf Development Center. You've won many, 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 many tournaments. So you're talking from, you understand that the field, you have to protect the field. So everything has to be above board. It has to be honest. There has to be integrity. But there, at some point, there are some silly things that the rules doesn't make sense. And that's why it's being addressed. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Danielle. And yeah, so there's going to be some stuff that's going to be some changes. I think in 2019, they're going to implement some changes. You know, they're taking all the information now, all the feedback from everybody, and they're going to make some rules changes.
That's awesome.
So should be good. Should be exciting.
So Casey Nakama has his introductory session for junior golfers, and then session one, session two. This was for the spring program. I don't have, you're year round. Mm-hmm. So are
yes,
you?
Yes, this is, we're headed for our fourth session for the year. We run four sessions in a year, and we run year round. And we're just, this weekend, actually, we're starting our last session of the year. So from this weekend, and we run all the way to the beginning of November, actually in the middle of November. And then we shut it down in December. And usually, you know, there's some weather that comes in. And then we get started right at the beginning of the year at the Sony Open.
It's fantastic. Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer and Director of Golf. You can get in touch with the Casey Nakama Golf Development Center at 259-7712. 259-7712. Get your kids signed up. There's so many wonderful things. I mean, as I talked about at the Open, you know, we've got drive chip putt going on, all kinds of stuff, junior golf league championships, everything's happening. And it's
right now, you know, this is exciting, you know, ending part of the year, but the exciting time of the year, because not only FedEx Cup playoffs, we got football got started, baseball is winding down to the playoffs. This is a really exciting time in sports for a sports person. This is a fun time right now.
This is fun time.
Yeah.
Casey, thanks for being on the show with me.
Danielle, thank you.
Aloha. We'll talk again soon. Okay, cool. We're going to come back and check in with Ron Syrak, and he's Golf Channel contributor and author of the Vision 54 trilogy, Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, published, by the way, in 8 languages. We'll be back with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a 2-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, You will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
By the way, the home of Claude Brousseau's Maui School of Golf is the Kahili course on beautiful Maui. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, and KTOH Kalaheo. We're into the clubhouse now. Ron Cyrak, special to the LPGA on so many occasions, Golf Channel contributor and author of the Vision 54 trilogy. You can find his work at roncyrak.com. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks for having me on, Danielle. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, I got to ask, you were playing in your club championship. How did you do?
Well, I'm four back after the first round and with a triple bogey on the 18th hole.
Ouch!
Yeah, you know, it was I hit a stupid shot, so.
And it happens so fast, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah, so, but anyway, I feel like I'm still in it, so looking forward to tomorrow.
Absolutely. Of course you're still in it. You're only four back. That's nothing. You know, I was talking to Casey earlier. It said, I'm watching television and watching somebody who seems to be out of it, and all of a sudden I get a sandwich here, and then I'm back. And what happened? You're all of a sudden two back. You know, you're just moving up the leaderboard. Just got to be patient. Take your time and let golf come to you. It's going to all work out, right? Gotta ask you, can we go, and I want your opinion about, and I know it was a really difficult decision on the part of the LPGA, but what did you think of cutting this major championship, the Evian Championship, to 54 holes?
Well, it's the second time in 5 years that Evian's been a major, that they've had to cut to 54 holes. I was there the first year it was a major, and the same thing happened. Rain came in, and they reduced to 54 holes then. And, I understand why they're doing it, but it's a bad situation. A major should be 72 holes. When the Evian became a major, they moved it to September to get it away from the Women's British Open. It used to be the week before the Women's British Open, in fact. It was one of my favorite stretches of the year. I do Men's British Open, Evian, Women's British Open 3 weeks in a row.
Wow.
And the weather is, quite frankly, in the foothills of the Alps, better in July than it is in September. But they sort of put themselves into a box when they made it a major and moved it to September. It looks like they may have to start rethinking this, because it just may be that September is not a good time of the year to be playing on the shores of Lake Geneva.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, late August would be better than this late, because the coolness on the lake, the temperature change, it goes from hot to cold. You know, the air is just different, and it'll really cause some stormy conditions. And I was talking to LeWin Mayer earlier, and she told me that Laura Davies was afraid, you know, and she thought it was the right thing to do. I thought, could they at least have just stopped play and continued the next day? I guess that wasn't an option. I don't know
why.
Well,
you know, my understanding is that more than half the field is not on the golf course, you can wipe out the round. Well, you know, that sort of works in a regular tournament. I'm not sure it really works in a major championship. And, you know, Sung Hyun Park, who's in contention, only a couple shots off the lead right now, was six over through nine holes in that first round. And then they wiped the round out. Then she went out and shot like a 64, you know, the next day. That was essentially a 14-stroke swing for her from what it could have been. So you're very familiar with that part of the world. And the fact is, you start to get into post-summer, pretty quickly there because, frankly, you are in, you in the foothills of the Alps, and they're going to be skiing there pretty soon.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the seasons do change quickly. And then Jessica Korda and So-Young, her, So-Young hurt her. The wiping that round out, it completely, I think Jessica said it best. I don't know how she phrased it, but it was very sarcastic in a nice way of, yeah, I'm thrilled about this. You know, this is just great that it's been wiped out. She was 3 under. She was doing fabulous.
Yeah, I was at a tournament at Kingsmill, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 years ago. And the same thing happened, and somebody went out, and somebody's playing like 2 under golf in just absolutely horrid, brutal conditions. And then they decided to do the same thing, wipe out the round. So this person was essentially penalized for playing terrific golf in bad conditions. It's something they got to look at, and particularly because it's a major championship. You can't be in these sorts of awkward situations, and it creates another awkward PR problem for the LPGA, yes. Which was, I wasn't a fan of creating a fifth major anyway. You know, I thought it screwed up the record book in a lot of ways. We're used to 4 majors. That's what it's supposed to be. I understand why they created a fifth major because the Avion people put up a lot of money. It's essentially, it used to be the second biggest purse on tour behind the U.S. Women's Open. Now that the Women's PGA Championship is in there, it's the third biggest purse on tour, but it's still a significant amount of money. That and they treat the players really well that week. It's a very, very, very special week at Avion. And it became a major during the depths of the recession when the LPGA was fighting its way back. And quite frankly, they needed that tournament. And that became the bargaining chip, and it became a major. So, but as I said, they're in a box. They're in a bind in a lot of ways. The timing of the event and for these weather situations.
Yes. I wish they shifted it, because it would be great to have the fifth major and have it work and have the credibility not robbed from what's already a kind of a sketchy situation, because people don't think, as you said, 5 majors, waters down the rest of them. So then when you take it down to 54 holes, it completely waters down the major that has watered down the rest of them. And I'm glad to hear your thoughts on that, because everyone I've talked to, and it's mostly guys, because guys are such a big part of golf. It's men, and then they look at that because they want to love the LPGA. And the guys who love the LPGA are in a harder position than most, because they have to defend these things.
Right, and the other thing, Danielle, too, is there is a significant number of people out there, too, who also like to find any reason they can to bash the LPGA.
Very nice.
And this gives them some ammunition to do that.
Exactly.
And that's too bad, because, I've been fighting against those people, and they are mostly men, but I've been fighting against them for a very, very, for 20 years out here, trying to convince them what a great product this is. And then a situation like this happens, and it gives them a platform on which to attack the tour. And quite frankly, what everybody forgets here is LPGA is not the PGA Tour. They're playing for 1/5 the prize money of the PGA Tour, and they don't get they don't have a lot of power. They don't get to take principled stands. They sometimes have to do what's expedient and not what's necessarily the perfect thing to do.
So well put, as you always do. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to talk about Ai Miyazato retiring. You've been following her for how long? Has it been 14 years?
2006, I think.
2006, so sounds right. Yes.
11 years. And let me, she did the Japanese language version of Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. She wrote the introduction for, so I got to know her then. And first off, she is one of the nicest human beings on the planet. She's just an incredibly smart, sweet, kind, funny person. When I first met her, I had to interview her through a translator She now speaks English, you know, better than most Americans that I know. You know, she learned the language incredibly well. And she also played with the weight of a nation on her shoulders. She was huge when she came over here. Those early days, Danielle, there'd be 3-4 dozen photographers from Japanese publications following her around. You know, I always knew that the best time to eat lunch in the media center was when I was on the golf course, because half of the media would be out on the golf course with her. And she, you know, I think that pressure is one of the reasons she's retiring at an early age. She came out, she won, she didn't win a major, but she won a lot of tournaments. Her first win was at Avion, and I was there for that. And I don't think that people really fully appreciate how much pressure she had on her from her homeland.
Yeah, it's hard. It's burned out a lot of people having those kinds of expectations on you. And it just, yes. The ones who survive, they're really strong. And they keep their private lives very, very private. So because they are so exploited in a way because of how incredibly powerful they are as movers and shakers of the fan base. And they just, it's really hard to imagine living under that kind of scrutiny on all levels of your life. I mean, how long is it? Someone just had a baby, you know, and we never didn't even know his wife was pregnant. So that kind of tells you everything about it.
Right.
CME Group Championship at Tiburon mm-hmm. Golf Club, Ritz-Carlton, Naples, Florida, November. That's quite a challenge for the folks at Tiburon to pull this off and get back to golf at that club.
Yeah, I haven't really heard an update on what kind of condition the golf course is in, but they still have about a month and a half to do what they need to do to get it ready. I have every reason to think that they'll get it ready. You know, they really need to because, you know, they lost a tournament in China that they didn't think they were going to lose. And they really need to have this season-ending event. I've been to that course several times. It's not near the water. It may have survived okay. I don't know what the situation is in terms of down trees and things like that. But I'm optimistic that they have enough time to get everything ready before they have to play the event.
Yeah, they were remastering the black course, which isn't the one that's played. I believe the gold course is the one that's played on during the championship. And I've heard they've lost everything that they tried to do in the remastering of the black. There's just so much water that it changed everything. And it's Tiburon.
You also have to worry too. You know, for any golf tournament, you need hundreds of volunteers to come out to make a tournament work, and you have to worry about that. You have to worry about how is the population base been affected by the hurricanes, and do those people have homes? Are those people, in fact, you know, there's probably some snowbirds who come down there and are part of the volunteers. Are they going to be coming back on their regular schedule, or are they not going to be coming back? So there's a lot of moving pieces to a puzzle. The work of volunteers is to be very, very, very appreciated because without them, golf tournaments don't happen. And you're really talking about 600, 700, 800 volunteers that are needed to pull off a golf tournament, and you have to be concerned about, are those people going to be there to do it?
Yeah, I spoke with the Florida Golf Association. Actually, I had to leave a message because they said we're in the office, but our phones aren't working. So leave a message or get in touch with us online. Send us an email. And it turns out that their internet is down. I did get in touch with someone from the Golf Association of Florida. She couldn't tell me how the golf courses had fared in the area that she'd hurt because they can't get in touch with anyone. This was a few days ago, you know, and I hope things have gotten better. But it's really tough to get back on your feet and do it quickly. We've got changes coming in the PGA Championship moving to May. The Players, is it definitely going to go to March?
Yeah, it's going to go to March. So we're going to have the Players in March, the Masters in April, the PGA in May, U.S. Open June, British Open July, and then that opens up August for the FedEx Cup playoffs, which gives them the opportunity to move the FedEx Cup playoffs out of football season.
Okay, you know, so that's definitely what's going to happen. FedEx Cup playoffs will be August.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I mean, because it's just once college and professional football starts kicking up, then it's really hard for golf to compete in terms of TV ratings. And I think it'll also make it easier for to negotiate with networks who may want to televise football games instead of golf tournaments. It's going to be easier to negotiate with them. And if you can have that FedEx Cup event in August rather than football season.
Yeah, well, it's. I think it's the best thing. I mean, everybody's talking about football, and I don't understand the wraparound season, but I don't handle all the money on the PGA Tour, and there's a lot of people who want to be involved in golf on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I'd like to see the men's and the women's tours and the European tours working better together to not compete against each other, but to try to create schedules that are. Don't step all over each other. We're going to be starting the Women's U.S. Open is going to move to having a fixed date. It will be the first week of June every year. And that'll be good because now we know what it'll be the Women's U.S. Open, and then there'll be another week, and then there'll be the Men's U.S. Open. So I think that'll create a situation where for the women, we're going to have the ANA tournament in that first week of April. Then we'll have the Women's U.S. Open the first week of June, and then probably we'll see the Women's PGA Championship in late June or maybe even early July, and then we go to the Women's British Open. But we got to figure out ways so the tournaments aren't tripping over each other, and the golf audience is too small to spread out that way. Got to figure out ways to. Have the maximum number of eyes watching the important tournaments.
Right. So that they're not, competing. It's like, wait a minute, why are you on the same day that this is happening? I've got to make a choice here. I've always suspected you've been a confidant, a consultant to the Mike Wands and the folks in the USGA and hopefully the PGA Tour and the PGA of America. They should listen to you, Mr. Cyrak. Ron Cyrak, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me on, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll be in touch. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot. I want to thank all the people who make this show possible. Alan Nakata and Associates. They're the folks who bring you need help. He says that people call and say, hey, I need help. So help your people that, you love and you don't have time to take care of while you're at work. That's what Need Help is all about. Prepare for your future, too. The team will help you and your parents avoid any problems before they come up. So you need to give them a call. It's 548-7526. Futura Stone's Master Craftsman. Turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, or your home project into artwork. Yeah, that's right. Natural stones. They specialize in the Brazilian quartzite flagstone. AquaPave on-site stormwater source control system. Interlocking concrete pavers. Roman stack walls. Futura Stone, only the best. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, 2-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 Coach, Aimpoint Certified, Golf Channel Lead Coach. My, you need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing, weather, a building, a shopping center, a storm, a custom home, a townhouse, whether you're doing a repair or a renovation or you're building from the ground up, call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. They've been serving Hawaii for over 40 years. And Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Rainer Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. That's Rainer Doors. Give them a call. The number is 647 647- 2056. Want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. You can always listen to our show at radiogolfclub.com. And on that site, you can not only listen live, streaming live from your computer, if you've just caught a portion of the show, you can go to the archive button. If you listen to live, you'll hear the radio station, but not my show. So you go to the archive button, and then all the shows are archived. It goes back like 10 years. Earlier shows are on, I think, cassettes. I should put them on there, too. But anyway, you can always listen to any show that you like to, and they're on MP3, so you can fast forward to the segment that you'd like to hear, and all the guests are listed there as well. So again, thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2017.